Amen. Amen. Would you turn with me to Hebrews chapter 12? Right. So, how are you doing? How has 2018 been? Has it been good? Has it been rough? Has it been challenging? How's it going? Every time the, you know, November, December, this time of year come, personally, I like to look back at the year. I go back to my birthday, you know, and I go like, okay, I turn 22. I'm kidding. 10 years, 15 years ago. And this is what I did. I worked here. I did that. I got that project done. Our kids started school. We went to this. This is what we did with the church ministry. I like to take a personal spiritual inventory. How was this year? What did I do? Was it good? Did I shank it? Did I wreck it? Was it rough? Did I do well? Am I better off, stronger, deeper in the Lord this year than last year? Or am I sliding back? Just me. And I think, and you know, you see people start coming up with resolutions, and I'm going to do this year and this year, you know, all the gym memberships and all the stuff that we see. You see Costco from August, they have already the Christmas trees there. I'm like, what are you doing? It's summertime. And, you know, the year just moves quickly. And I like to personally just kind of look back. Whenever I finish a season or start a new season, whether it's soccer with my kids or moving to a different state, a new school, a new job, whatever, a friend moves away, I always like to look back. It's like, what was I like? Was I a nice guy? Was I kind to them? Was that neighbor? Is that neighbor going to remember me for a good reason or for a bad reason? Did I make it up? What do they think of me as they left, as they start a new journey? What was I like this year? And I often do that. In my head, I don't tell anybody. I just kind of, you know, just go like, how did I do? What was it like? And in the text before us, I'm going to talk about the race. It's in verses 1 and 2 of chapter 12 of Hebrews. It says, and therefore, we also. Now, as we know, whenever the word therefore is there, this is referring to something that's previously said. And we know that the Bible was not written and divided in chapters and verses. So as you will read the original text on this, chapter 11, which is the Hall of Faith, when we get 17 people by name, you know, mentioned and alluded to others about their journeys of faith, Abraham and so forth, you know, it's all a straight text. So the writer of Hebrews has just finished writing about the Hall of Faith and all those people that walked by faith and the things that they did and how God was faithful to them. And then he starts, or he switches gears right here at verse 1 of chapter 12. It says, therefore, because of those guys behind us, the examples I just talked about, if you will, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses. Now, when I first got saved, I went to this Christian bookstore, and it had this paintings or just drawings, you know, those posters, and it had a preacher with a suit and a Bible, and it's like, it looked like he was struggling. He's like, oh, holding his Bible, and like faded out, like Ghost had a guy with the tablets, you know, Moses. It had a guy with fire coming down, Elijah. It's like, and it had this verse. He's like, surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. So for the longest time, whenever I came to read this verse, I'll be like, oh man, those guys are always around me. Like Mo, there's Mo here somewhere. Like, tablets, yeah, man, you want to cross that Red Sea, I'm here. You know, you need to call fire down, I'm here. You know, I used to think that. Now I've learned since. That word, that cloud of witness, is the witness of the people in chapter 11, if you will, the Hall of Faith. They are a witness to us, a testimony to me, that God was faithful to all these guys, to Abraham as he was to, you know, take out his son. God said, stop, I see you love me more. See, God was faithful to all of them. So that, to us is a witness, a testimony. God has been faithful in the past. He is the same one yesterday, today, and forever. He is faithful with us today. Those examples, the cloud of witness, is a testimony to me so that when I face different things in life, I can go back to see the God that never changes, that was there for his people, and we're no different than they are. We're all loved by God. The same God that saved them saved us and can save you. So, surrounded by such a great cloud of witness, the witness that they give to us, it says, let us lay aside every weight. We're going to talk about racing and running. Now, I used to play soccer. I don't do anymore, but I've noticed that in soccer training lately, the new tech is that they put this vest, this weighted vests on the players about this tall, and they're weighted, and they train with that. They play, they do drills, and they're always running with this weights. And the purpose of it, as you may guess, is to condition the player to run under weight. It makes it harder. Your muscles work harder. You get more tired. And the point of it is that you're training under a heavier, you know, weight, so when it is game time, you don't have to wear that. You take it off. It's like you're unloading, you know, 20 pounds or so, and you can run faster. So in our race, in our journey, we have this cloud of witnesses, the people, their witness, their testimony to us. Here, the writer of Hebrews says, lay aside every weight. Now, that word weight is in the Greek onkos, which means a burden. So the writer of Hebrews is saying, get rid of the burdens. Get rid of the thing that is weighing you down as you're running this race. Matthew 11, 28, Jesus would say, I'll read it to you if I can find it in my notes. It says, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and learn of me, for I am meek. For my burden is, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. I personally think that the burdens that we at times carry ourselves throughout our days, throughout our weeks, our months, our lives, they're meant to be given over to the Lord. He bore our sin, and he invites us in Matthew 11, 28 to come to him, that his yoke is easy, that his burden is light. So lay aside every weight, anything that will wear you down, anything that will slow you down in this race. And then he says, and the sin which so easily ensnares us. So get rid of the weight, but also get rid of the sin that so easily ensnares us. I put it this way. If you're going to run a race, a marathon, try to do it blindfolded. You don't know where you're going. And you see, sin blinds us. It distorts our view of things, how we see things. When we are, if we are engaged in any sort of sin, how we're going to see things, that lens is going to be skewed. It's not going to be clear. It's not going to be crisp because there's something that is on the way. The writer of Hebrews says, get rid of the weight, the burden. Also, get rid of the sin. Sin will hold you back. Sin will drag you down. And I've seen it. Sin will flat out stop you from your race. It will. The condemnation that comes is so heavy for unrepentant sin, that is, that it's like, why bother? I've seen it in old people. I've seen it in younger people. But here's one thing I do notice, and I'm kind of weird on this one, so don't think I'm really weird, but this is weird. I like to see people. Like, observe. For some reason, my mind can remember things of people that they go like, how can you remember that? I'm like, I don't know. I'm weird. But we just had a conversation a week ago, and you don't remember anything. True, but I remember this. Oh, what? I often tell people, I won't forget this, and I really don't. But what I'm saying is, I pay attention to people that have been walking with the Lord for a long time. They could be old, or they could be young, and just early in the faith, and I my mind kind of zeroes in. And people like that. Now, I don't go to them. I go like, hey, you've been walking with Jesus a long time, haven't you? No. I look. And I see the people that they're just going stronger and deeper year by year by year by year. It blesses me. Because as a younger person, I don't consider myself young, but younger person, that's what I want to be like. When I get to my 40s, my 50s, my 60s, should the Lord tarry, wherever he might lead me, I want to run like that. I want to be the old guy with the Bible, okay? Going to church and calling the grandkids. So I look at those lives, and I'm not saying weird anything, but I go like, what's up? They're real. This is working. This is not a one-time thing, a one-year thing. At five. No. This is real. This is real. What is it? And as I have met some, and talk to some and share with some. In fact, my son Everett, my 7-month-old, is named after somebody like that, Everett. You get to meet those people, and you know, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks, and you glean, and you go like, huh, no wonder. No wonder. That is water, it's living, it's no negativity, just the word of God they're witnessing. It's like, that's where they are. They hold the line. Right? They draw the line and hold the line on what's good and what's bad. They carry that. They don't compromise. And the result is they're going for it in the older age, or after 20 years or 50 years of walking with Jesus, they're still going. And I look at that, I'm like, that one, that's what I want. That's a race well run. But what are they doing? Because again, I've seen both sides. It's unfortunate. I'm not saying it to discourage anybody, but I've seen both. I've seen the one that starts good and and then it's like a year later, it's like, where are they? I've seen the kids at a mission trip getting baptized and crying and worship songs. And then a year later, it's like, whoa, what happened? Where you been? Sin got in. Sin is a snare. It just traps you. It's so subtle. Now, at the risk of being called a legalistic, at the risk of being called a holier-than-thou Bible thumper, better than you, whatever people might want to label you, hey, sin is sin. And it's got to go. Flat out. Call it what you want. Spin it however you feel so you make yourself feel better. It's still sin. And I've seen, again, holding the line and the compromise and the outcome, well, whatever a man sows, that will he reap, right? It shows. So the writer of Hebrews, I keep saying the writer of Hebrews because I really think it's Paul. I personally believe it's Paul, but I can't say that. So the writer of Hebrews says, "And the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us." I'm a terrible runner. In fact, if you are a runner, I'm already a fan of you, okay? Because that takes so much dedication. Who likes to put on shoes and run? Just run. Just run and get tired and sweaty and tired and hungry and run. I mean, that's a lot. When I first moved here to the United States from Costa Rica, 18 years ago, really, I had just like gone crazy eating. You know, I was 20. Everything that was in front of me, I ate it. It's like, I just ate. And my uncle looks at me and says, "Hey, dude, just because it's in front of you, you don't have to eat it all." I'm like, "No, but I want to." So I pounded. So after 6 months or so, I moved over to California. I'm hanging out. I'm looking in the mirror. I'm like, "Oh man, I need to go running." So I put on shoes and I decided to go running that day. And I thought, I'd just go around the block. Well, this block was not a square block. It was kind of like one of those blocks that goes like in a pie shape. So what it seemed to me in my mind, that was a short little run, you know, like quarter mile. It was like a mile and a half. And I started running the first 30 seconds, I was doing really good. I mean, About 2 minutes into it, it's like, okay, I'm not wearing the right shoes. I'm tired. My stomach hurts. My mouth is dry. I'm panting. But I got to do this. So I kept running. And my legs were just, everything was just awful. I don't think I was running. I think if people, there was a video, they'll probably see me walking, and I thought I was running, okay? That's how bad it was. But it came to the full loop after about 6 hours, okay? I came to the full loop where I started, the driveway of the house there, and I missed my step on the curb, and I tripped, and I ate it. I mean, I ate it, just ate it, okay? And I was so embarrassed. I was by myself. I was so embarrassed. In front of the house. I was so embarrassed to stop and that I just kept going. I got up and kept going. But I'm like, but the house is there. But I in my mind, I thought somebody was watching me. And I had to play cool and keep running. So I kept running. And I finally gave up about, you know, I don't know, quarter mile down. I'm like, oh, this is crazy. I'm just going to go. Well, when I stopped and I give up and I, in my mind, thought nobody's looking at me anymore, which nobody was, it's a main street. I looked down and both of my knees were bloody. And blood had run down to my socks. I had a mess. I was the crazy guy running on the side of the street that people were looking at. It's like, that guy has blood everywhere, all over his legs. Why won't he stop? See, I thought I was embarrassed that I fell and somebody's looking at me. Meanwhile, I have a mess in my legs. I got blood going down my knees. My socks are getting all wet. And people are probably driving by thinking, what is he doing? But you see, pride kept me from stopping and saying, I fell. I sinned. I dropped the ball. And what I thought I was covering by just keep running, keep going, wave and smile, it was actually a bigger mess. And it was far more evident to the people around me that probably drove by and go like, I'm probably like, they go, remember that one guy that was running with blood? That probably that guy. And I thought later, I should have stopped when I fell. And I should have taken care of the mess. But I kept going. There's a lot of flaws about that story. One, I wasn't ready to run. I was in condition. I didn't have the right shoes. And when I fell, I kept going. Nothing wrong with falling in our race, guys. Absolutely nothing wrong. God is there to pick us up. But there's a key thing to this whole story is we have to stop. Go back to the altar, to the cross, and say, Lord, I fell. Sin has crept in. I'm snared in this mess. I need to clean that up and continue this race. Again, nothing wrong with falling because the just will fall seven times, but the seven times the Lord will raise him, right? He who is without sin cast the first stone. But it is about acknowledging that, hey, I fell. I dropped the ball. Let us run this race with endurance. Let me tell you another story about running, and this is a lot worse. Pier 39 in San Francisco. I was about to be married or just married, I don't remember. The whole family's there in Pier 39 in San Francisco, and if you've been, you know that at the end of Pier 39, there's all the sea otters. And there's hundreds or maybe even a couple thousand people walking back and forth because everybody has to go to the end of the pier and take a photo with the sea otters. It's the one thing to do, Pier 39. Well, I'm there with my, I think, wife at the time. And her sister. And she's dating this guy who's like 10 years younger than me. An athlete, baseball player, basketball player. Just chiseled, you know. I'm like a foot shorter than him. And I have this great idea at the beginning of the pier and tell him, hey, Caleb, let's race to the end. Now, this is a lot of people there. Hundreds of people. Kids, older people, younger people. And I had this bright idea of racing this guy who I could never catch up to, much taller, stronger, younger, to the end of the pier. Well, he said, okay, let's go. So we took off. And my takeoff was awful. I took off full speed, and just when I had full speed, my body was going faster than my legs were, and I just stumbled for what it looked like 10 feet, and ate it again. But there's so many people there, I actually landed right on my face at a lady's feet. And true story, as I land on her feet, she goes, "Safe!" She did. So I look back, I'm like, surely my wife and their family are concerned about me. They're surely coming. I turn around, they are on the floor laughing. They're holding each other. Because they said the way it looked, like I was falling in slow motion. And then the lady saying, "Save." It was so embarrassing. So many flaws with that run. I wasn't thinking. What if I took out somebody running? A little kid? I wasn't thinking. I was never going to beat this guy. I mean, really. But you see, I just said, "Let's go. Let's go. It's good. It's good. Just fake it till you make it. Go, 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 go." But I ate it, and I fell flat. And it was really embarrassing. Every time we talk about that story, we laugh. Run with endurance. That word endurance there is patience. And in our Christian lives, in our walks, patience, it's something that we must use. We have our own timing on how we think things should be, when things should work out, how they should work out. And we have our own timeline. So if everything worked out this way, this way, this way, it will be perfect. But our thoughts are not God's thoughts, right? He has his own timeline, which is the one that matters. And he knows everything. At times, we're in the dark. We just go like, "Well, this is what, but I can't see." We need patience in those moments. We're in a race. This is a marathon. This is not a sprint. Your race may be halfway done, two-thirds of the way done, a quarter. We really don't know where our finish line is for sure. But in this race, be it long or short, hard, painful, or joyful, whatever it is, all of the above, patience kicks in because it is very easy to get discouraged. As a pastor, I get discouraged. Oh, people go like, "Really? Yeah, I'm a human too." And you ask other pastors, they go like, "Yeah, I get discouraged too." Of course. There's that patience, that endurance that you just keep going because you know you're going the right direction. You know the road may be bumpy and there'll be setbacks and falls and trips and messes, but we keep going. We don't slow down and drop off. But that's where that patience comes in. Now, if you look at from the previous text, which I didn't read in Hebrews 11, you know, I want to highlight three people that the writer of Hebrews points out to. Think about David. David started well, didn't he? His race. I mean, he's a shepherd. He's writing Psalms. He loves Jesus. He sees a giant. He's like, "I'll do it." I mean, he started the race, and he hit the ground running. And he was the guy everybody wanted to catch up. It's like he's like taking selfies along the race. I mean, that's David, right? David is the man. They sent songs about David. He killed his 10,000s. And when everything was going smooth in his journey, you know the story. He lowered the guard. He stayed back for more. He saw Bathsheba come up here. Blood was shed. Lives were lost. His family, shambles. His son, Absalom, turned on him. And you go like, he started well. He lowered his guard. He got wiped out. Now, at the end, he kind of pieced it all together and on to Solomon, and here you go. But that was David's race. You look at Samson. Think about Samson. Called by God before birth with a plan for him. Like all of us. A purpose, a plan. Nazarene vow, don't let anybody touch his hair, don't touch a dead body, the whole thing. Well, he decided to stop listening to what God and his family told him. And you know the story. Lands him without eyes, as a slave, really. Ultimately, he did accomplish what God had intended for him to do, but at what cost? In what result? Was that Samson's perfect plan? God's perfect plan for his life? But that's how he ran. But then you look at Joseph. Joseph had a, well, in fact, he's one of those guys in the Bible that no sin is recorded, although we know he did sin, but no sin is recorded in the Bible. Joseph started well. He was the favorite guy. Brothers didn't like him. It was bumpy. But he was faithful. And in due time, God came through for him. He ran literally from sin, Potiphar's wife. He bailed. He didn't pray for strength. Lord, help me. No, he bounced to sin. Nope, done. Off I go. It cost him too. He was falsely accused. But in full term, when God intervened fully, he's back on top for a reason. And here you go. So, you know, these lives and the other 14 in Hebrews 11, they are a witness. They are a testimony to us. Hey, God was there for them. But I often ask myself and people, how do you want to run your race? What do you want to be known for? What will people say about how you ran, how you lived, what you did, what your priorities were, what you really focused on? Because see, when we are with eyes in eternity, eternity is forever. It's not going to go away. Nobody can touch that. But eyes on the temporal, it's fading. This world is fading. Our health is fading. Everything is fading, 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 fading. See, eternity is forever. So were their eyes in eternity, in heaven? Were they for the kingdom? Or were they on things of earth? Which is a struggle for anybody, Christian and non-Christian. Think about it. So many things just wanting to draw us away from walking the line, for doing the right thing, for walking with Jesus, for putting our focus, our shift, our resources into the kingdom. A lot of million things will come your way trying to distract you from that. Push you away from the race. Slow you down. In fact, I had a friend of mine who told me when I first became a Christian, he's like, you go too much to church. I'm like, you're not a good friend. No, I didn't tell him that. I told him that later. But he was discouraging me from going to church too much. This is when I just got saved. I was going 6 times a week. Church. Who's preaching? I don't know, but I'm going to be at church. Oh, okay. He's discouraging me. I'm like, no, that's not a good friend. Needless to say, the paths went two completely different ways. How do we want to run the race? What do you want to be known for? What's your priorities? It says, running the race that is set before us. I know I met a lady. Her name was Mildred. And I only knew her for a short period of time. My wife's grandma is 89, and she has a group of ladies, which all of them are almost gone because she's 89. So friends are all that age. And almost all of them are gone. But Mildred, I never forget Mildred. Mildred was always in a wheelchair because I only met her for a short period of time at the end of her life. And she had this glow. Like, there's something about Mildred. Well, I came to find out that Mildred was not only a Christian that loved Jesus, but she was pouring all these resources and time and effort into a house in India where they will teach ladies how to sew and how to work so they can make a living. And every time I saw Mildred, all she talked about was, oh, we got another 5 ladies or something like that, and we got them going and everything in her wheelchair. Mildred never went to India. Mildred never met those ladies. But all I can think about is like, when I found out she went to heaven, I'm like, good race. Good finish. That was strong, Mildred. I called her daughter, Susie. I'm like, can you tell me more about your mom? Oh, my mom, this, what? People don't know half of what they did. It's like, this. I'm like, that's a good run. See, We say, we don't have this. We can't do that. We're so limited. Well, Mildred was in a wheelchair, and she never went to India. Oh, but she's in heaven today. Yeah. And she's going to meet those ladies from India in heaven. He's like, you're Mildred? Yeah. Yes, thank you. You're welcome. It's cool, man. This is my house right here. It's a mansion, that one right there with the pool. That's mine. See, heaven, eternity. She ran the well, her race really, really well. And it says in verse 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Eyes on the Lord as we run the race. We're all looking to something. Right? Like, whether it's a short run or a big run or a goal or a meeting, or you usually have a goal in front of you. What's the goal? I was just coaching my son's, meaning not just, but recently stopped coaching my son's soccer team. And Eli is a very defensive-minded person in the soccer field. So he was always very aware when somebody was going to score. So every time he was on defense, I would tell him this, Eli, eyes on me. Because I'm the coach and I know the team. I know who's good there and I can tell you where to be at the right time. So keep your eyes on me, okay, son? Okay, Dad. And most of the times, not because I'm a great coach or anything like that, but because I was able to tell when they were coming, I'm like, Eli, move back. Boom. Eli, now, attack, move. And he was like, unbelievable. And I asked him at the end of the season, I said, son, did it bother you? He's 7. Did it bother you that I kept telling you, move here, do there, eyes on me? He's like, oh, no, Dad. No, not at all. That helped me. I'm like, oh, thanks, man. Keep that mindset when you're a teenager, okay? Do that. Yeah. But at 7 years old, Dad is still the hero. Teenager's like, Dad, be quiet. I know what to do, right? But see, I would do this from the sidelines. I'm like, Eli, here. So whenever another kid would be on his position, I'll be like, Drew. And they go like, what is he doing? See, my son knew Dad's sign. My son knew that's Dad. Eyes on Dad. Eyes on Jesus. Peter, walking on water. He saw Jesus. He was cruising. He took his eyes off the Lord, looked around. He started to sink. Isn't that a principle? You're looking to the author and the finisher of your faith. The one that's ran his race. He ran his race perfectly. Well, how do you know he ran it perfectly? Because he rose from the grave. That's why. Think about it. Had Jesus not lived the perfect life and run the perfect race, he would have never come back from the grave. But he did. He defeated the grave. He finished the race. He said it there in John 19. It is finished. Tetelestai. John, I think, 17. Father, I have finished the work you gave me to do. See, the writer of Hebrews is saying, run with endurance. Get rid of the weight. Get rid of the sin with patience and eyes on Jesus. Eyes on people, guys, that's no good. You'll be disappointed. Whoever that is, people will disappoint. I learned that lesson when I was a young Christian. Pastor said, never eyes on people. Always eyes on Jesus. Because people will disappoint you. In fact, let me, as a commercial here, if you are disappointed on something, on a Christian figure or something like that, it's because your eyes are on the wrong person. There's nothing new under the sun. Everybody's a sinner. But eyes on Jesus, he will never disappoint. So the writer of Hebrews is like, eyes on the Lord. Eyes on the Lord. That's how you run the race. Looking straight at him. The author, the creator, and the finisher, the one that said it is finished of your faith. And this race, as if you put it all together, is the race of faith. The walk of faith. The journey of faith. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. What joy? What joy was set before him? Well, he'd get to sit at the right hand of the Father. But what about the joy that he can now save the lost people? The sin disease that enter this world in the Garden of Eden. Now there is a medicine, if you will. Now there is a vaccine. Something that poison of death, now there is an option. Now there is something. That's the joy. So Raul and people at Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth, and remote countries of the world can call on the name, on the author and finisher of our faith and be saved. And immediately translated from a place of death and condemnation to a place of life and redemption. And everything is brand new. Keep your eyes on Jesus. He never fails. He's the rock of all salvation. He's the same one yesterday and today and forever. He never has a bad day. He's never too busy. His ear is not heavy that he cannot hear, nor his arm short that he cannot reach. That's what I want to keep my eyes on. Not on the promotion or the boss or the job or the money or the house and the car. That's all going to fade. It's all going to dissolve. Just give it enough time. Give it 100 years from now. It's all gone. Reality. In 100 years from now, everybody in this room is in heaven. I pray that's the case. It stays. Just keep going. But heaven is heaven. It's forever. Eyes on Jesus. Like I would tell my son. Eyes on me, the Lord would say, eyes on me. Eyes on me. I finished the work. I did it all for you. Now, to be perfectly fair and real, this race that we run, it's at times hard. And there are setbacks. There are knockdowns. But I'd never forget, I was talking to a friend of mine years ago, and he said, well, if you want your legs, Raul, to become really strong, you want to run uphill. I'm like, well, I don't like running. And I'll have to run uphill? He's like, yeah, but there is something in that. See, not only are you running, but now you're pushing your weight up with your legs and those muscles, those calves, your quads, they're going to work a lot harder than when you run on flat ground or downhill. You're putting that pressure and you're going to strengthen that. That's how you really get strong muscles. And when you're into soccer, you do want strong legs because, you know, you can kick the ball farther and so forth. So as a young guy, I'm like, yeah, I want big legs, strong legs, kick the ball hard. Yeah, run uphill. And it was hard. I did try it for like a minute. It was hard. Your legs burn. Oh, but the muscles, they grow. All that to say this, sometimes our race is uphill. Know this, the muscles of your faith, should you continue in the race, they're getting stronger. They're getting developed. And then when the race gets flat, you can run at a better pace. The muscles are there. It's easy to say, I know. It's much harder to do. That the eyes are always on the Lord. Peter, eyes on me. So again, let me take it back to my question in the beginning. How has 2018 been? What's your race like? This is not meant in any way to make anybody feel bad. Quite the opposite. It's to encourage you. If it's been lousy, lame, or flat out sinful, the author and the finisher of our faith gives new beginnings every day to millions of people in the world. He can do it too. I'd much rather run a race beat up but keep running than because of pride, right? Fall to the side and never say, I'm sorry, I repent. You got to remember, a confessed sin is a forgotten sin. Forever. As far as the east is from the west, which they never join. You know that. He has removed our transgressions from us. That's Psalm 103, I believe. Paul said, now I can say Paul, Philippians 3, 13 and 14, talking about his walk, his life, and attaining resurrection and all that. He's like, not that I have already attained it, but he says, one thing I do, forgetting what is behind, I press on forward. If we keep remembering how bad we've dropped the ball time and time and time again, can I tell you something? You're going to be stuck. It's like running a race and using a treadmill. You're not advancing. Everybody's passing you. You're just stuck in the sin, stuck in the guilt. Hey, there's therefore now no condemnation. There's conviction, but not condemnation for those who are in Christ. Keep running. If 2018 has been sin, confess it and move on. But don't drop off. Come clean. And again, Paul, at the end of his life, you know this. This passage is very famous. 2 Timothy 4, 6, and 7. He says, I'm ready to go. I'm already being poured out as a drink offering. And the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Did you see that? Finished the race, kept the faith together. This is a race of faith. Do you see that? That's how I want to finish whenever my time comes. I want to be able to quote this verse with authority and mean it. I have kept the faith, Lord. It wasn't the best faith. It wasn't moving mountains, but I kept it. The work that you gave me to do, I did. I finished. I'm good. I'm good to go. I'm really good to go. I was talking to somebody earlier and said, you know, talking about this, it's really cool. You were saying that. And it was kind of like how everything played out in my life. And I remember saying, I was like, and is that cool? You can keep that. See, when you run with purpose, you're going to be the guy that when your next door neighbor moves away, you smile and they come and give you a hug. Not go like, oh man, I'm so glad we're leaving. That guy. Although there are neighbors that are kind of difficult, okay? So I'm not putting that on you. But you're going to be the guy that when Thanksgiving comes or Christmas and you sit back and you play back the tape, you go like, by the grace of God, it wasn't always pretty, but we ran for Him. And when it comes time for us to go, whenever that is, I pray it's a long time from now, we can say, by the grace of God, we ran for Him. It's good. Eyes on me. It says, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. What He's saying is this: Jesus did it all for you. Run the race for Him. He's at the finish line. But He's also along the way to carry you. And this guy's in Hebrews 11, the Hall of Faith, that's a witness to you. Take it, believe it. As the Lord was with them, He is with me. Run the race for Him. Let 2019 be a good year. Not an easy year, not a perfect year, but I'm saying a good year of your race with Him. See, that we do have control over, how we run with Him. We don't have control over the unknown and the things that we can control, but we can control sticking to Him, eyes on Him. That we can. And by His grace, we're all going to be there in heaven. We're going to get the crown. We're going to rejoice. Sin is done. No more temptation. No more struggle. None of that. We're with Him. And I pray, and this is truly my prayer, that as we finish that race, we're there, that it's like, oh, no regrets. Yes, we did it. We got there. We made it. We lived for Him. I pray that's all of us. I pray that for my kids. I pray that for my family. I pray that for me. Eyes on Him. all the way. Amen? Let's pray. Lord, we thank you so much for this, your word. And Lord, if anyone in this room is in need of a fresh start to the race, if anyone in this room needs to repent, get going, if anybody in this room has just fallen to the side, I pray that right now, Lord, you will let them know how much you love them and you will pick them up and get them going. I pray, Lord, if anyone in this room needs you, you need to start that race and be saved, that you will save. I pray, Lord, that by your grace and for your glory, all of us in this room, we will be able to finish our race well, whenever that comes, years from now, days from now, whatever you have, help us to run for you. Help us to keep our eyes on you, come what may. Help us, Lord, to run to the rock of our salvation, to the author and the finisher of our faith, for your glory. We thank you for tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. If anyone needs prayer, we will be up here in front.